Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today for the Thankful Friday for the devotion today. And I look forward to spending some time in Psalm 100. Psalm 100, probably a very familiar thankfulness passage, but we'll look at some of the stuff that's in it, and we'll try to go through all of it. There was a number of resources that I looked at to try to compile today's devotion, so it may be a quick skim, but we'll see some things from this chapter that I hope that will be a help to you. And so let's look at Psalm 100, Psalm of Praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And so as we look through the Psalms, the previous five Psalms, 95 through 99, are they're a collection of songs regarding the reign of God and how he rules over the earth. It says, I think specifically in 95 and 99, the first verse there, it says, "The Lord reigneth," and it says that because of the Lord reigning, because of his kingship over the earth, that Israel should praise him for that. It's a call to praise because the Lord reigns. And so those five psalms, though, were kind of specifically written to Israel, and so they were somewhat limited geographically, or they were geographically specific. But when we come to the 100th Psalm, we find that the tone changes to be less geographically specific and more universal in nature, in that all lands, all people, and all nations are to lift up their voice in praise. And so we see in verse number 1 that all people should joyfully praise the Lord. It says there, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." This is a it's a universal call. Like we said, it does not matter what country you are in or where you are from. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter where you used to live but live now. It doesn't matter any of your geographic or linguistic or cultural differences. There's a universal call to praise the Lord. And we see that this joyful noise here is any shout of joy or praise. In public worship, it would denote praise of the most animated kind. That's what the kind of the definition of the phrase is. And so I won't give you an example over a video, but it's very animated. It's not dull. It's not boring. It's a very animated praise that we would give to someone who's worthy of it. And I won't get ahead of myself here, because we'll see that in later verses. But it is of such praise that rises to the level of the one who we praise. And so it's a very animated, and it's a shout of joy or praise. And so we see that in verse number 1, all people should joyfully praise the Lord. We see in verse number 2 that all creatures should joyfully serve the Lord through singing. Notice that that verse number 2, it says here, "Serve the Lord with gladness, colon, come before his presence with singing." And so we see that they're not too distinct sections to the sentence there. They're both one part. They're one thought unit. And so it says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." When there's a colon, that means that there's an explanation or a clarification on that which came before. And so we see that coming before his presence with singing is an explanation, or it's a clarification of serving the Lord with gladness. And so we see that what the idea is that our singing, which shouldn't just only happen in church, is a way to serve God. It's a service to God. And so we ought to be involved in service to God throughout our lives, throughout our daily life, throughout our week, not just on Sunday morning, Sunday night, not just on Wednesday night, but throughout the week. I hope that you have a song in your heart that the Lord gives to you that that you sing and that you would serve the Lord through singing throughout the week and throughout your whole life. This singing should be done with gladness. I'll be a little transparent with you. I've noticed as I've looked back at some of the services where I've done the song leading at church here, that it doesn't look like I'm too glad. And, it's something that I'm working on. I'm aware of it. But the fact is that before I get onto that, I have trouble with it, in looking like I'm glad. And I'll tell you this, that sometimes I feed off of what I see. And, I know that I'm supposed to be glad and singing and stuff, but, sometimes the faces that I'm seeing aren't too glad either. And, I'm just saying that as a rule of thumb in general, that all people everywhere, the song leader or the singers, ought to be singing with gladness. And it's something that I'm working on. It's something that I'm aware of. And, I hope that you'll, pray for me and that I'm not being facetious. I hope that you pray for me on that, that the gladness that I do have inside would come out as I sing and as I song lead. And so, because we see this in verse number 3, the reason, that all people should come to the knowledge that Jehovah is God. Jehovah proved himself to be God by creating the world. Because he made all people are his once. They're his once. Now, some people, those of us who have accepted him as Savior, are his twice. But all people are his once. It says there in verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. And so we understand that though people can look at nature and they can see the revelation of God through nature, like Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. But we see that it's not necessarily specific knowledge that all people have, that all people should come to this knowledge that he is God. And this is why missions exist, because worship does not exist. Missions is so important that all people would know that the Lord is God, and that because he is God, he can save, and he has proven himself to be God through the cross and many other aspects of that we won't go into. But it says there, know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We did not make ourselves. Somebody had to make us. And so we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Because he made all people are his once. And so we see then in verse number 4 that all lands should publicly praise the Lord, should publicly praise the Lord. Our praise of him should not be limited to private devotion time. The picture of the courts of the temple gives us kind of a figure of what this is talking about. He said, enter his courts with praise, and or it says there, into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. And so it kind of somewhat gives us the idea of in the temple, there were two outdoor courts. One would be called the Court of the Gentiles, which would be on the outermost section there. And then just inward, closer to the temple, would be the court where the Jews would be. And the Gentiles could not go into the court of the Jews. But what it was the idea of an outside public arena where people were to come to give their sacrifices and to offer their praise to God. The Jews that had been converted to Judaism in the Old Testament would be those who would come to the temple. But it gives us a picture of this idea that people everywhere should praise everywhere. That there would be, not everyone would need to go to the temple. I'm glad for that. I'm glad that I don't have to go to the temple in Jerusalem to praise the Lord. I'm glad for that because I've been saved, and the Lord has given us permission to praise him anywhere, and we ought to praise him anywhere and everywhere. Our praise of him should not be limited to private devotion time, but we also have a command to be thankful. I've shared this quote before, but it bears repeating. It says that as long as we are receivers of mercy, we should be givers of thanks. And we certainly have been receivers of mercy time and time again, a bountiful and boundless mercy. And because of that, we should give bountiful and boundless thanks to him, to the Lord. And so then we see in verse number 5 that all people have bountiful reasons to praise and thank him. The first one that the psalmist gives us is that he is good. And that's just a simple thing to read but it's quite a complicated thing to comprehend. And the amount of goodness that the Lord has for the fallen human race is just astounding and is really incomprehensible. And so we see that he is not merely one of power to create the world, right? From verse number 3, we saw that he has power to create all people. But it is not that he is unbalanced in that he only has power, but he also has benevolence or goodness. He is omnipotent, but he is also omnibenevolent. Just a 50 cent word, which is what we called it in French, a big word. But it means that he is always in all goodness. And so he is good. We see also that he is merciful. He is merciful. I'm going to read a short paragraph to you, if you don't mind. It says this: a being of mere justice may be feared and respected, but a character of only justice would be to man an object of dread, and may be so anywhere. There are other attributes than the one of justice, high and valuable as that may be, which are necessary to constitute a perfect character, and man, in order to find happiness and security, must find some other attribute in God than mere justice. For man is a sinner and needs pardon. He is a sufferer and needs compassion. He is to die and needs support and consolation. It is, therefore, a ground of unspeakable joy for man that God is not a being of mere justice, but that there is mingled in his character the attribute of mercy and kindness. And so we see that would God be only a God of justice and no mercy, that would be a fearful and dreadful thing with no hope at all. But because we have been told in the Bible that he is not only just, but he is merciful, that there is reason to hope and there is reason to rejoice, that though mercy is not something that we could ever earn or deserve, it is something that he lovingly and willingly gives us, and for that we must praise him. We must praise him because he is merciful, because he is good, but also we must praise him because he is truth. I want to read another paragraph, if you wouldn't mind, in conclusion this afternoon. It says this: we could not love and honor a God who is not true to his promises, and who did not himself love the truth. We could not honor one who is changeable and flexible, who loved one thing in one generation and a different thing in the next, who in one age was the friend of truth, and in the next the patron of falsehood. It is the just foundation for praise to God, our God, that he is essentially and always, in all worlds and in all the generations of people, toward all in the universe, a being of unchangeable benevolence, mercy, and truth. Such a God is worthy to be had in universal reverence. Such a God is worthy of universal praise. And so I hope that it was a blessing to you as you consider today that we ought to be thankful and serve the Lord in singing and gladness and making a joyful noise, because he is powerful, he is good, he is merciful, and he is truth. And I hope that that will cause us to be thankful today on Thankful Friday. The Lord bless you. We look forward to seeing you. Don't forget about the adjusted schedule for Sunday of having a brown bag. And that's what's on the schedule so far. And of course, Pastor will let you know if something changes by way of the weather. And he'll have some wisdom there, I'm certain. And we're certainly grateful for the leadership of our pastor, and certainly grateful for that. So have a good day, and the Lord bless you. And look forward to seeing you soon.